Good morning. Apologize for keeping you all a little later than maybe you expected. But the reason that happened is because I wanted to see firsthand all the good things that have happened here at Youth Uprising. What I saw here today, I think in some ways, was eye-opening and extremely optimistic. Nala Simmons is doing a great job here. The Board of California Dallas is obviously critical. And what I saw here was an attempt by a community to reach out to youth who are in need. And I saw some very positive outcomes. I think some really innovative attempts to try to deal with the problems, but not only this community, this city, but things that I see all around the country as Attorney General. But I've heard about this place. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to come here and see this firsthand. One of the things I think we learned from the effort here is that we have to break through the silos that too often government finds itself in. Too often we have Justice Department doing one thing, Department of Health and Human Services doing another, Labor Department of Education. We have to break through those barriers and come up with comprehensive, holistic solutions to the problems that affect our communities. So, I think this is a perfect example of what we need to be doing around the country. I've taken a lot of notes. I've made, I think, a lot of new friends. And I look forward to coming back to working with here with my good friend, Mayor Dellum, who is, I think, just an innovator. I'm thinking that he has shown leadership that he has demonstrated. So this has been a good morning. Flying back on a plane to Washington, D.C. I've been reviewing my notes and making contacts with people. And this administration is committed to these kinds of efforts, and we will do the best that we can to support them and lead as open resilience of the Obama administration's commitment to our cities, to our communities, and the government of those places. So with that, I'd be more than glad to take any questions with you.
Two things. One, what would you say about gang injunctions being a way to resolve crime problems? And also, what about the relationship between the community and the police? Oftentimes, people are fearful of the police and they don't want to cooperate, which oftentimes allows crime to go unchecked.
And that's a critical part of it. We have to understand that one of the things we say in the Obama administration is that we don't want to get tough on crime. We want to get smart on crime. And that necessarily means building relationships and building trust between law enforcement and communities of law enforcement as opposed to their service. We have to be honest about this. There is a lot of mistrust, a lot of distrust that exists out there. It's history that we have to overcome. We have tried to come up through the COPS program with new ways in which police departments, police officers, county police, sheriffs can interact with the people that they serve. There's new ways of policing. Vice President Biden, I think, has taken a particular interest in these approaches. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do in the Obama administration. I think that we have proven to be fairly successful at. Our recovery money that we had went to developing those new ways of interacting between the police and the communities that they serve.
So what about the injunctions? That's a tactic of the city attorney here in Oakland. He's asked for a gang injunction in North Oakland. Are they effective? An effective tool? Should the city attorneys go after those injunctions?
Well, I think we have to try to find all kinds of ways in which we can be creative. I'm not familiar with how effective that effort has been here, but we should always have to be creative. We should always try to find ways in which we can help people who are most in need. And I think that's the thing that's really critical here that we have to understand. We can certainly debate about tactics, whether a particular tactic is good or bad, but never lose sight of the fact that we're all in this and we all want the same result. Because I think we can't lose sight of the fact that people in these communities are American citizens. They want the same things that all American citizens want. They want to feel free to walk their streets at night. They want their kids to go to school in safety. They want schools that can educate. They want to have the opportunity to get jobs. And so we'll talk about tactics and we'll debate about what those things are. And we'll try things that might not work, some things that will. This is an administration that is dedicated to being as creative as we possibly can.
California is considering legalizing marijuana. Is that the type of creative effort?
Well, one of the things we have certainly done in the administration is to say that, you know, we're going to take our limited federal resources when it comes to the question of medical marijuana. And we, in those states where that has become the policy, to not focus there, to focus our attention on the cartels, those big growers that are bringing marijuana into our country that are having a negative impact on a variety of places. We think that makes a lot of sense. I'm not sure that legalization, quite frankly, is necessarily the way to go. I think the limited response, the limited movement that we have made when it comes to medical marijuana is perhaps as far as we should go.
This November.
Can you use the position of my where to start as community endeavors? How could the Justice Department play a role in these specific things about how to help expand things like this?
The Justice Department's a really big place, and it includes everything from the FBI, from the Office of Justice Programs, and OJP, the Office of Justice Programs, and OJP is responsible for looking at efforts like this, and putting up the ways in which we get resources to those efforts, to help support them, to study them, to see if they are effective, and then also come up with ways in which we try to replicate. We're going to be making some announcements in the next couple of weeks about things we're doing in about 12 or 13 cities. And this is something that is an OJP-driven initiative that works with the Department of Education, Barney Duncan in particular, in that effort. That's how the Justice Department helps. The Justice Department is not only about enforcement, that's a critical part of what it is that we do. The Obama administration understands that prevention has to be a huge part of effective law enforcement, and the Office of Justice Program is a huge part of that effort.
The voters of California will get to decide in November whether or not they want to legalize marijuana. And backers are saying it could bring in $1.3 billion in tax money, which presumably could be spent hiring police officers. Is that a particular problem for the Justice Department if that initiative passes?
Well, there's a potential conflict that you have between state law and federal law. And I really think that you know, when one looks at the need for revenue enhancements, I understand that that is real. One, I think, has to understand what are the social consequences that might flow from the legalization of marijuana. Now, as I said, we have taken what I think is an enlightened view of what we're going to do with our limited enforcement resources and how we deal with states that have decided that they're going to authorize the use of marijuana to give some people who are suffering from mental illnesses and other things like that. To go that far, to go so far as to legalize marijuana, even though it might potentially have that revenue enhancing effect, I think it's a bridge too far. I don't think that's a
The Arizona immigration law, do you feel it's effective, or do you feel it's, just divisive?
Well, I certainly think it's divisive. I don't think there's any question about that. One only has to look at the reaction that we've seen, not only in Arizona, but around the country, to the impact, the divisiveness of that law. My question is whether or not it will ultimately be effective in this way. I think the potential for racial profiling is certainly increased by the passage of such laws. I think that then leads to the potential driving of a wedge between the communities that law enforcement is trying to reach out to, law enforcement into the communities that law enforcement is trying to serve. The community feels that it is being profiled, that it is being singled out for law enforcement attention in an inappropriate way. People are less likely to share information. People are less likely to report crimes. I saw it as a judge in Washington, D.C. People are less likely to serve appropriately on juries when they see overwhelming evidence of abuse by the government and feel that that community, their community, has not been served appropriately and will ignore the evidence that is presented in the courtroom. So we're going to be looking at the law and seeing whether or not there is a basis for filing a federal suit. on the basis of federal preemption, whether or not Allen is by to preempt federal law appropriately, and then also look to see whether or not it has a negative impact on what convenience federal civil rights laws. It is something that we're taking a look
at. Thank you. All sorts of state drug cases that have been thrown out of state court because of the problems in the drug lab in San Francisco. It's also creating problems for federal capital case that you authorize against a gang member in San Francisco. I'm curious whether that will give you any pause in authorizing death cases in the future where it's based on state investigations and not federal investigations.
Well, I mean, that's a tough decision that I have to make as Attorney General, that is to make decisions in capital cases. We have a very good review system in place. We will take into account a whole variety of things. We have to, as part of that process, we make sure that defense attorneys have the ability to raise any issues they want. It's a capital case review committee that looks at each and every case that works its way through the whole system in the department before it gets to my desk. And we take into account a whole variety of things to the extent that there are problems with our investigations that occur. It's obviously the things that we need to take into consideration.
One more question. We had the incident in New York City in Times Square with this lone wolf type terrorist. Can you talk about the potential threat for that sort of thing again, and how safe you think the Bay Area is, and then what you think could do to serve this one?
One of the things, let me ask that question. One of the things you certainly have to look at the problem in New York is about citizen vigilance. One of the things that really helped resolve that situation in the way that it was because individual citizens, not people necessarily associated with law enforcement, but individual citizens saw something that they thought was amiss and then got law enforcement involved in it. With regard to what that represents, I think that what we saw there is troubling, but is also indicative of what we've seen over this past year, where we have seen individuals connected to Al-Qaeda, connected to Al-Qaeda affiliates, connected now to the Taliban, who are radicalized in a variety of ways and perfectly as individual, not the kind of large-scale conspiracy that led to the tragedy of September 11th, but people like Zaza, who are going to try to reinforce this endeavor to bomb New York City in some ways, which is obviously quite a few times square. I think that we have to understand that although New York and Washington seem to have been focused of the activities of these massive activities, the nation as a whole has to be ready to deal with these issues, and that's why we're trying to get money, resources, federal attention, not only to those two places, but around the country, because the reality is we are, as a nation, at risk, and we have to be, as a nation, extremely vigilant. Thank you.